AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Friday. Good to be with you today. Matt, Brett today. Brett, I'm going to keep you up to date here on U.S. soccer as we go here.
I completely forgot. What's the score? I meant to watch that.
1-0 USA over France right now.
Where are they at in the game?
47th minute. So usually if it's an extra time in the first half, they'll be 45th plus. So they must be in the second half by now.
So I'll just let you know I'm not going to pay attention to your show anymore. I might just tune that in on my phone here.
This is the quality radio broadcasting experience you've come to expect from us here at AM.
I'm glad. I meant to watch that, and I completely forgot. That was 2 o'clock today.
It's daylight again. Yeah, what the hell?
Oh God, I'm in a bunker with no windows down here.
You see, it keeps you disoriented. That's it. Rat in a maze. That sort of thing. You know, it's good fun. Welcome to radio. Welcome to radio. Matt, Brett here today. A lot to get to tonight. We're going to do today, I should say. Yeah, I don't know. I can't see out the window. A lot to get to today. I'll just let you know you're always welcome to chime in here. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Comment at am950radio.com. That's comment at am950radio.com. And also, you can watch the radio. It's radio for your eyes over at Facebook. Go to Facebook and go to am950radio on Facebook, and you can watch the show. It's just that simple. So we got 4th of July coming up here. And just to prove, I want all my veggie friends out there. Are you my veggie friends? Are you here? Are you listening to me right now? I'm going to give you a fantastic grilling vegetarian item. And it's not just a zucchini that you put on the grill. No, here you go. I want you to go get a portobello mushroom, okay? And if you come at me and say, well, they're not, you know, harvested in an, you know, an eco-friendly manner, just shut up, okay? I'm giving you a vegetarian. I don't need to know about how John the portobello mushroom farmer violates his mushrooms. I don't need to hear that. Get your portobello mushrooms, scrub them up, get them nice and clean, okay? Olive oil. Last I checked, olives, although incredibly tasty, especially green ones, I'm a big fan, still vegetarian. Olive oil, put that a little on there on both sides. You want to grill the stem side down first, okay? Put a little salt, a little pepper, a little garlic powder. Vegetarian, vegetarian, vegetarian. Ta-da. And then was the garlic powder responsibly farmed? I don't know. It probably didn't end up too good for the garlic at the end. It's in powder form, for goodness sake. Soylent Green is people, my God. Anyway, so a little garlic powder. And then you grill it up, you flip it over, okay? All right. Now, what I want you to do is, as you're grilling your top side down, you got the stem side up, put a little hummus in there, all right? And you can do one of the flavored hummuses, delicious. Although, if you want it to be vegetarian, the meat flavor, probably not the one you want to go for. And by the way, beef-flavored hummus, ugh. Still not as grotesque as chocolate-flavored hummus. Seriously, then what are you thinking? What?
That doesn't make beef-flavored hummus. That doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't, but neither did chocolate-flavored hummus, and they actually didn't make that. So, put your hummus on there. Now, if you are not full vegetarians or vegan, and you do have a little bit of cheese, you can get some feta cheese and put it on there if you so desire. I've actually found it tastes better with feta, but if you're not, you're gold. Don't worry about it. Once again, a little salt, pepper, a little garlic powder. Grill it up till it's kind of, you know, getting a nice char on there, and there you go. And it eats like a steak, which is really nice. You kind of cut it. Oh, is that nice? There you go. I'm preparing you for your grilling love. You never know when a grilling event might break out. It can happen at any place. Be prepared. I always carry portobello mushrooms on me. It's just a thing. 952-946-6205. Brett, before I keep noticing you looking on the phone. Have they scored? Has anyone scored? Are you still watching it?
I can't get it up on my phone, actually.
No, it's it.
It's not well, working.
Yeah, you know, I think we can put a hot tub or a bathtub in the backyard, and you can look longingly into the distance if that's a problem for you.
Yeah.
All right. We'll give you, like I said, our crack staff here, we're on top of it. We'll give you updates on the score as it goes. Brett, though, I do want to put out this disclaimer. What I'm about to say is by no means an endorsement. It is by no means trying to drive you there. If you've ever listened to this radio show, I have people all the time saying, Matt, who would you vote for? I don't say. I don't think it's my job. I am a private citizen, and when I am off the air, I make my own private decisions. Educate yourself. Make your own decisions. That's how it works. I'm not saying these things as to badmouth anyone. I am not saying these things to promote anyone. I am saying these things purely objectively as a person who has watched with my own eyes. All right? Disclaimer out, because I know I'm about to get it. All right. Off that first debate, which it wasn't, it was a two-parter. It was like the left and right Twix bar, I guess. But off the two Twix bar debate system, the three viable candidates for the Democratic nomination at this point, in my mind, off of the performance, are Elizabeth Warren, Kamala Harris, and Joe Biden. Now, I know some people just drove their car off the road. I'll explain as I go here. All right. Now, I don't think it's anyone's big surprise when I mentioned Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris, absolutely. When you looked at the lineup of the two different debate nights, the first debate night, you know, Amy Klobuchar was there, you know, Elizabeth Warren was there, but it didn't really have the pop of the second night where you had, you know, Bernie Sanders and Biden. And that was what that debate was phrased as. It was Biden versus Bernie, and that was what it was. That was the battle. Kamala Harris let everyone know that she was not only there, but she is there and she is looking to take advantage of the situation. Her first response when they asked her, how are you going to pay for all these Democratic initiatives? And she looked right at Savannah Guthrie and said to her face, how come you guys never asked the Republicans how to do that? You see that tax bill that just got passed? Where they were saying we're going to have GDP in the gazillions and elephants are going to appear in the sky and they're going to be expelling money on everybody over the country. And you guys took that that's how they're going to pay for it. And yet not at any point do you guys come on out there and say, hey, you know what? Those elephants never materialized. Yeah, exactly. But yet when it comes to a Democratic initiative, you guys have to tell us where every single cent's coming from. You guys got to be fiscally responsible. Kamala Harris calling out the media was, that was brilliant. And I've been waiting for any Democrat to do that as effectively as she just did. Because, and I got to tell you, you know how bad that was? The only place I could find the video clip was on Now This, the online news service, video service. Everywhere else, not even MSNBC or NBC had that clip of her calling out the moderators for basically not asking the Republicans how they're going to pay for their bills. That was brilliant. Her takedown of Biden, I didn't realize you could put Joe Biden in a corner like that. My God, just think about how Biden took care of Sarah Palin and then Paul Ryan in their debates when he faced off against them. I mean, it was the adults playing with the children at that point. I mean, Biden was on his heels. Now, mind you, Kamala Harris had the personal story and the personal perspective to put him on point. And you want to know the truth is Biden has to understand this thing isn't wrapped up in a bow for you. You were a very popular vice president under President Obama, undeniably. But your record, there were some questions about your record. The reason why you didn't last in the 2008 race was because of, you didn't kind of kick it around there. It was because of your record. And you yourself keep kind of putting this record out there like it's something to brag about. No, you don't brag about, congratulate segregationists. You don't go on out there. And if you have stuff like this, I mean, we understand there are different times and different places, but your first words out of your mouth should be, I'm sorry, I made some mistakes. I was wrong. And you can say that. And you have been trying your hardest to validate your actions, which left the door for Kamala Harris wide open for her to come on in there. And she took you to school. I mean, in you know, in busing. That was a brutal takedown of Biden. And whereas, and going back to Elizabeth Warren held her own very well in her debate, but she, in my mind, didn't do anything as impressive what Kamala Harris did. I mean, I think Kamala Harris, I mean, I watched her performance in that, and it's like, has she ever lost a court case? Now, I mean, one piece of advice for Kamala Harris, if I may, your personal experience is a great story. You probably, every time you're facing off against Joe Biden, don't want it to be that. You know, you picked the absolute right time to put that story out there in, let's call this what it is. It's a game, in the most damaging way possible. You weakened Joe Biden pretty substantially with that takedown. You can't necessarily, you don't want to necessarily do that every single debate, you know, and you made a name for yourself. You're going up there. I am not going to tell a person what they can and cannot say. I would say that you're going to run the risk of becoming incredibly repetitive if that's, you know, you're playing your greatest hits. It's the TV character from the one-year sitcom from the 1970s who says his catch line, everyone. You don't want to become that. You don't want to be going dynamite for the rest of your life. So, you know, I think what you want to do is you use that perfectly. This is why it was methodical. That was brilliant what she did. And, you know, Kamala Harris really made a name for herself. I'll get to another person here in a second, but on that was on that same debate stage about, you know, Elizabeth Warren, like I mentioned, she held her own. She definitely looked like the adult at the table in the first debate. Biden is damaged, but he is not out. My goodness, that is a very popular candidate. And whereas I think right now, I guarantee you, every one of his campaign people is working on the response to Kamala Harris as we speak. And when he does get there, he will deliver it pretty darn well. Now, those are the three. Biden, Kamala Harris, Elizabeth Warren. And my presumption at this point, unless something else happens, and a lot can, those are looking like your three front runners for the Democratic nomination. There are one or two other ones. Buttigieg, it looks pretty, you know, he did okay, I think, held himself pretty well. But I will say, Sanders, I think, is in trouble. Now, I'm not saying he's in trouble because of his stances. I am not saying he's in trouble because of anything he did. He's in trouble because, as something I mentioned, was it 6-7 months ago, this is a very different campaign. You were pretty much, I mean, there was Martin O'Malley. Martin O'Malley, from the governor of Maryland, I believe it was. He was the only other candidate besides Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders in that race. And Bernie was able to, because he was the, and when O'Malley left, the day they had the Mondale dinner that year in 2016, early in 2016, he actually had withdrawn from the race that day. He was supposed to be at the Mondale dinner and did not come to Minneapolis. And so you had Bernie Sanders being the non-Hillary Clinton standard in that election. He's not going to get that luxury this time. This time, what did he look like last night? He looked like just another politician on the stage. You know, his policies have become, I mean, his impact to the party is undeniable, and it's going to be a long-term impact. Because I guarantee you, I think single-payer health care is going to get passed. I think probably within 5 years. I think that you're probably going to see, there's definitely going to be some talk about college costs. But Bernie, he's not shining as bright as he did in 2016. Not because there, but because he was the only other light on the stage that year. And you have Elizabeth Warren, who basically, I would very much love to see a difference debate between Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders and get some of those issues out. But the reality is that there are multiple people on these stages who are progressives. and are putting forward a very progressive tone. And, you know, it's when you're out there, it's not that he does, you know, he doesn't have ideas. It's just that he's now one of many. And is he truly outshining anyone else at this point? I didn't see that last night. I didn't. I think Kristen Gillibrand is done. I was the other person I was mentioning on the stage. When you're in a debate like that, and not only do you not get mentioned and kind of get in the takedown or good point narrative, but you don't get mentioned in the late night TV show host comedy genre either. What did you do? You said things which were neither memorable for any of the reasons that we usually pay attention to. And so I can see, I don't think she's going to survive much longer. Klobuchar, I'm a little concerned about. I think I understand what she's trying to do, and I said this yesterday. I think she's trying to position herself as the anti-Bernie Democrat. And the reason why is that when I was in 2016, I would talk to people, Democrats in the suburbs. And the Democrats in the suburbs who are middle class, upper middle class, lower upper class, would all say the same thing. I don't mind the Medicare for all stuff. I don't mind the health care for all stuff. But free college? You know, I had to pay for my college. I'm paying for my kids' college. Is their college going to be free? Who's going to pay for this? And this was something that I think drove some suburban Democrats away from Bernie. Well, she seems to be trying to, in that olive branch to the middle sort of thing, trying to take a stance of appealing to that element that, you know, likes some progressive ideas, but really doesn't want to rock the boat too much. She's eclipsed Tulsi Gabbard in that grand. I mean, I think, and please stop trying to make Tulsi happen, okay? Please. You know, the woman that praised Trump at the beginning of his term, come on. And I mean, I praise her military service. I think she's a fascinating person. I there's a lot of things she does I like, but there's no way in the world. I mean, Tulsi, no. But, and by the way, I think that my thought on Tulsi Gabbard, I think that she's doing this right now to try to position herself for either being Joint Chiefs of Staff, Defense Secretary, or UN Secretary. I think that that's one of the three things she's trying to position herself in. I don't think she's really serious about running for president. That being said, there's so many white guys on that stage that's like, who, Hick and Ryan Cooper, what? Who are you? And then who is the mystic we had? You know, Gandalf was great.
I for sure thought you were going to come on and endorse Marianne Williamson today.
Oh man,
love and rainbows.
Man. I have bought a ton of stuff on Goop today because I needed that soul crystal inside me that's going to direct me in the proper and positive direction. She's a hoot. Keep her around for a while. Really, I mean, that's must-see TV. But I think as I look around at that field, I think that field is basically three candidates right now. Now, once again, very early. It's June of 2019. The primaries and the caucuses don't even start for another 6 months. We're going to have how many debates in the next few weeks? 4 months? We're going to have a ton. A lot can happen. I guarantee you someone I have mentioned is going to burn out some way, somehow. I guarantee you someone who I have kind of written off is going to catch fire. By the way, what happened to Beto O'Rourke? Did you notice that Beto just kind of, I mean, great, you can speak Spanish. I mean, it's nice. I think it's important that we have, you know, the understanding and the embracing of multiculturalism, but that seems to be the only thing anyone remembers that you did. Anything you said or anything was that outside of the fact you got beat up by a lot of people.
You had a nice little debate with Julian Castro in their, debate for the Senate seat in Texas. They didn't seem to be running for president.
No, they didn't. Samantha Bee made the point and said, stop running for president, run for Senate. I think that's a very good point. I think some of these guys need to stop running. And, you know, the most important thing we can do is take back the U.S. Senate. But that's a sign. No, I just, there are going to be one or two of these guys that I've kind of written off after this first debate and said, you know, wait, I'm not seeing anything there that are going to come back strong. Okay, fine. But right now, Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, after that first two rounds of whatever we want to call that, those are the three that look like are going to be the ones that are standing come January. And those are the ones that are going to be going to Iowa and South Carolina and Nevada, New Hampshire, and then to the rest of the states for the Super Tuesday. That's my guess as of right now. You are more than welcome to call up and tear me in a new one. Please do. By all means, 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. You disagree or do agree, you're more than welcome to chime in. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Tap Taste and Treasure at Vinaigrette, where we have some warm seasonal recipes all ready to create dynamite meals. Our fig balsamic vinegar pairs perfectly with roasted Brussels sprouts or baked brie. And sweet potatoes are always a winner, but never more than when they're roasted with a drizzle of vinaigrette cinnamon or orange-fused extra virgin olive oil on top. Come in today for more custom-crafted food and cocktail recipes at Vinaigrette, 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis and 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
Anytime is the right time to update your music collection, so stop in at the Electric Fetus and browse their massive selection. You'll find everything from rock and pop to international and roots, and so much more, on CD and vinyl. Not only is Electric Fetus the best stop for music, but they also carry a wide and unique range of gifts. Bath products, clothing, books, stationery, candles, incense, you name it. That's the Electric Fetus at 2000 4th Avenue South in Minneapolis and online at efetus.com.
Hi, this is Ken Hagland, host of Living Healthy and Aging Well, inviting you to listen to our new show airing on Saturdays from noon to one, where we talk about your health and your life and provide insights to living and aging well. Each week, we provide answers to important questions regarding health care, elder care, end-of-life care, and caregiver support to help you and your loved ones plan for the future and enjoy your highest quality of life today. Please join us every Saturday from noon to one for Living Healthy and Aging Well.
Hello, friends. I've been talking to you about Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens, Minnesota's first green cemetery dedicated to celebrating life and protecting our environment. One of the many wonderful things they have is something called the Living Urn. Ashes are buried in an urn with seedlings, ultimately coming back to life as a glorious tree. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Why don't you log on to the website, mngreengraves.com. Learn more about Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens. See if it might be something that's meaningful for you.
Tune in for Philosophy Talk, the program that questions everything.
Except your intelligence.
Coming up, Mill and the Good Life.
John Stuart Mill thought individuals are the best judges of their own welfare.
But Mill also believed in objectively higher and lower pleasures.
So which is it? Is the good life one in which we determine our own paths? Or should experts try to nudge us to live better lives?
Philosophy Talk, every Sunday at 8 a.m. and again at 2 p.m. on AM 950.
I just imagine if you were like the defense in a case where you went up against Kamala Harris and you saw her walk in as the prosecutor. Guilty, I'm guilty, 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 done, done, done. No, 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 I'm done, I'm done. I don't need to go through this, I'm guilty. Has she, we'll have to look to see, has she ever lost a court case? My God, that was, like I said, that was methodical. She was brilliant.
You got to come up with the right Google phrasing, because if you Google Kamala Harris court record, you're kind of just getting what she's done in her career.
Stealing pandas. What the, okay. No, I don't think Kamala Harris, the U.S. Senator, has been stealing pandas. No, I was making a joke. That's the person going in, seeing the biggest guy on the field in the playground, and going over there and punching him right in the nose. Yeah, that was impressive. Mark up on the Facebook feed. Imagine how Kamala would destroy Trump in a debate. The problem for Trump and his handlers would be, you know, where he'd want to go. There's two different distinct paths he'll go. One would be her ethnicity. The second would be her being a woman, and you know that he would want to do that. You know, the idea of a minority or a woman, and God forbid both, actually talking down to him would infuriate him so much. I would say that there'd be a decent chance you might actually hear, you know, some wildly inappropriate language in a debate because he's just so dang angry. I could see that. I agree with Lisa say he should have apologized. Biden should have. And you want to, once again, we understand. Tipper Gore and Al Gore went after, you know, Twisted Sister, for God's sakes. And remember that? Remember the heavy metal hearings they had there? Yeah, I remember that. They went after Tell Me More, Mr. Twisted Sister, about We're Not Going to Take It.
That was really a thing?
Yeah, they went after them. They brought on all the heavy metal guys, the Satan worshipers. And the guy's like, no, we're just writing music.
That sounds like such a late 80s, early 90s.
It was. And if you came in today and you said it, you know, it's like, okay, yeah, it was the time. We were stupid. If you can do it for that, for goodness sakes, have the spine to go out there and say, you know what? I should have been more of an advocate for minority rights, especially when it comes to busing and education. I should have done it more. I didn't. I failed. And I'm sorry. Is that really that hard? And like I said, we come through time. You know, it's you know they want to go after Biden so much for the Anita Hill, Clarence Thomas stuff too. And I'm, once again, if you take what's going on today and you apply it to those proceedings back then, you know, it was unforgivable. But at the time, there was a difference. But you still should come on out here and say, I was wrong. I was wrong. I should not have gone along with that dog and pony show. And yeah, it's I should have backed up Anita Hill. Yeah, you should have. There's nothing wrong with doing that. You have to have the inner strength to know when you have to apologize. And that's the fault with a lot of us here in America today. There's a lot of people that do not know when they need to say, sorry, that was my bad. Brad is in Robbinsdale. He wanted to chime in on the debates last night. Hey, Brad.
Okay, well, yes. In an interview on Wednesday before the debate, Jay Inslee made a prediction that seemed both prophetic and slightly ironic. And, I mean, he assumed, again, that he was going to be at the top of the ticket, but he stated that the ticket coming out of Milwaukee would not be two white men. And so that does sort of start to limit the possibilities. And so it's something to just think about.
Well, and I think, and Brad, thank you very much. I think, it, you know, when Inslee, and by the way, he didn't, did Inslee get any good shots in? I can't think of anything.
I can't remember one line he even had in the debate. Can you?
No, I can't. Once again, just a litany of white guys. You know, I don't think Joe Biden would put himself in the ring for a vice presidential candidate. But, you know, it was interesting when Kamala Harris was running. It's like, are you trying to be Joe Biden's vice president? And she was like, what are you talking about? No. They never will ask Biden that question because, well, and, you know, that's just the way the system is. I mean, Kamala Harris pointed out the fault within the media last night quite effectively. But I will say that I think that there's a very decent chance that a woman is going to be on the top of the Democratic ticket this time around. The question we should be asking ourselves right now is, just because there's a woman on top of the ticket, does that mean a white man has to be the second person on that ticket? Because I can tell you right now, if, say, Kamala Harris wins the nomination, and she said, I want Elizabeth Warren as my vice president, you got my vote. Hello. Hello. That's hitting a lot of buttons right there. If Elizabeth Warren was to win that and you know, said, Cory Booker, would you like to be my vice president? Absolutely. A fantastic ticket. Just, I hope whoever the Democrat does choose, don't feel like the decision has to be white guy. If that's the best person on the field, you feel it's the best person that accentuates your faults. I mean, Obama picked Biden because of his foreign policy experience and his experience negotiating in the Senate and in the House and the Senate. And it was a great pick. That was Biden, and we complimented Obama, and Obama was brilliant. I mean, it was great. If the best candidate to compliment whoever the Democratic nominee is a white guy, then go for it. But don't feel like it has to be a white guy just because we feel like there has to be the white guy on the ticket. 952-946-6205. We're late. Let's take a break. I feel very Friday-esque. It's kind of, we're being lackadaisical. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Twin Cities listeners, Tom Hartman here. Join me for a talk on Saturday, June 29th at Next Chapter Booksellers. That's at 38 South Snelling Avenue. It's at 7 p.m. Mass shootings are on the rise, so what's holding the U.S. back from enacting change? The Hidden History of Guns and the Second Amendment, my new book, is an in-depth, historically informed view of the role guns have played throughout American history. From early European settlement to the Revolutionary War and Manifest Destiny, through the use of the slave patrols in the Deep South, which became the well-regulated militias so debated in 1787, to the recent school massacres. Plus, I'll talk solutions and sign books. In fact, a whole spectrum of my books. So if you have questions, come. We'll be doing a Q&A. Put it on your calendar. Saturday, June 29th at 7 p.m., join me at Next Chapter Booksellers, 38 South Snelling Avenue. Look forward to seeing you there, and bring your questions. Tag, you're it.
Hi, Matt McNeil here, and I love Rudy Luther because I love my Toyota Sienna, but I keep going back because of Luther's top-notch customer service. A great example, the Luther Advantage Card. With every new and used vehicle purchase, you'll get 3 years of 10 cents off per gallon of gas at Holiday Station stores and $5 off the Works car washes. The Luther Advantage Card keeps you happy in your Rudy Luther vehicle, which in turn makes me and many others loyal Rudy Luther customers. Find out more at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Eat fresh and support local farmers this summer by shopping at the Minneapolis Farmers Market. The market has the best selection of fresh and local fruits and vegetables, meats, and farmstead goods. Fresh at the market now, cherry tomatoes, cauliflower, broccoli, cucumbers, zucchini, beets, carrots, and even some new baby potatoes. The Minneapolis Farmers Market is open every day, 6 a.m. to 1 p.m. Plus, there's additional locations Tuesday at the Hennepin County Government Center and Thursdays at Nicollet Mall. More details at mplsfarmersmarket.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Victor's 1959 Cafe is the eatlocalminnesota.com restaurant of the week. Fantastic place. We talked about the breakfast there. The most underrated breakfast in town, hands down. Not even close. But their lunch, their dinner options there too. Fantastic Cuban food. Muy delicioso. Did I say it right? I think I did.
Let's go with it.
I am a jar of marshmallow fluff here, aren't I? Anyway, it is fantastic food. Go out there and enjoy. It is, of course, at 3756 Grand Avenue in South Minneapolis. Victor's 1959 Cafe. It's one of my favorite places in town. Go over there and have some food over there this weekend. You brought up a point that about 2 years ago, if I was to bring up Bernie, what would have happened?
Phone lines would have lit up if you said anything negative about him. I remember those shows when you... talk, even if you said something positive about Bernie, the phone lines would light up.
Do you remember the shows where I basically went through the math that Bernie didn't lose because of the superdelegates?
Oh,
he lost
yes.
because he did not take the southeastern United States seriously. And I did the math and how outraged. I mean, for weeks, I had people calling in saying, you idiot, and mad and angry. Well, I mean, I'm not going to deny that. I mean, that's more of just an observation. But no, they disagreed with this whole thing. No, because they had bought this narrative. And I think... part of it was true. And can I make this point? There were a lot of people in that year after that 2016 election who I think started to realize, holy crap, what did I just do not sitting out this election and not voting for Hillary Clinton? And they started seeing what Trump was doing. And we started hearing more and more about the online manipulation by the Russians in that election. And I think there were a lot of people that... that are now coming to grips that they were initially in that, no, it wasn't. And all of a sudden they realized, well, no, the reason why this is bad is because it worked. And just enough people were told to stay at home and they did. And I guarantee you in Wisconsin and Michigan, especially in those two states, the amount of Democrats who stayed home because Hillary Clinton is no better than Trump. They've been convinced of that, cost those two states in that election. And I think that's a hard thing to come to grips with. Doesn't mean Bernie didn't have things that you could back, but when we get to the final candidate here, there are going to be a lot of candidates. My God, there are going to be a lot of candidates that did not win the Democratic nomination. Get over it. Your person, you know, ran and lost, and we move on. The end game here is the defeating of Trump in 2020. It's not, if my guy doesn't win, I'm taking my toys and going home. Oh, God, I miss those days of being called an idiot over and over and over again. You just don't get it, old man. Yeah, I guess I don't. It's just math. It's math. It was just math. 952-946-6205. You can call and criticize me now, and you probably should. Jim is in St. Louis Park. Welcome on in, Jim. Thanks for holding.
I kind of like the idea of having a booted edge Klobuchar ticket just because nobody would be able to say it. They'd keep on, they call her Senator Amy and Mayor Pete. You know, so that'd be kind of fun. I think they could be president and vice president for 8 years and they still can say their names. But I thought Amy did really well in bringing up her electability because when she talked about her Uncle Dick in the deer stand, that's the kind of thing that blue-collar white guys in Ohio and Pennsylvania eat up, that kind of thing.
Well, and Jim, what I'll say is this, is that there were some planted lines for her, and thank you very much for the phone call, that were clearly directed exactly at that crowd, the blue-collar guys that voted Trump. that's all foam and no beer, you know, that line, that sort of stuff. I thought she did a better job than some at going after Trump. And, you know, once again, it is, you know, I will buy the argument here as we're looking for the person that's going to take on Trump. I will buy that. I just don't think that she had that first night of the debate. There wasn't any real major fireworks. And, you know, that the question is, it's, I mean, she didn't do as bad as Gillibrand, who is like, what? Was she even on the stage? Did she say anything? She wasn't like that. But at the same time, she needs to, frankly, if I'm her campaign manager, I'm going to tell her this. Stop trying to appeal to the moderate side of the party. It's not that the moderate part of the party doesn't matter. It just means that's not the only thing that you're going to need to win this. Stop taking the progressive side and the liberal side for granted. I'm not saying that there aren't some issues she hasn't championed that she's not there, but her clear focus is those Democrats and people on the middle at this point. And you've got a big, long race ahead of you, and it's going to take appealing to the masses. So just, you know, if it's too hard for you to embrace kind of some of the more progressive ideas, which are becoming wildly popular within the Democratic Party, well, maybe you shouldn't be running for president. But at the same time, if you want to run for president, I think you need to be embracing some of those things as well. Steve is in Minneapolis. Welcome on in, Steve.
Hey, how are you doing?
All right, sir.
All right. A couple quick points. First of all, I read a poll today because I'm going to go all Randy on you here. That had Tulsi Gabbard by 2 touchdowns, and then I realized it was Drudge, and I went, "Oh yeah, she's pretty and she knows how to shoot people. Cool."
Now,
secondly, I'll tell you the same thing I told Robert while you were gone. My secret guilty pleasure is to see Harris win because when she debates Trump, you could put that thing on pay-per-view.
Oh, you could. Well, and when you've seen her in the Senate, in some of the questioning moments, I mean, she has been brilliant in the Senate in some of those senatorial committee hearings where she has been, she's put these defense witnesses on notice. And I mean, you can clearly see she is a wildly skilled an attorney that knows how to basically get to the bottom of the question at that point.
Yeah, she would knock crap out of Cittadini.
I think she would. And thank you very much. I appreciate it, Steve.
And remember, she's the one that got William Barr to admit he lied like twice.
Oh, yeah.
Just in like 5 minutes. That was her.
Oh, yeah. She's a very good candidate. I guess I'm a little surprised that people are like, who is this? I mean, no, it's Kamala Harris. She's a very good candidate in that she was, she, her senatorial experience, her prosecutorial experience, her ideas, I think, are incredibly. When I talked about Klobuchar, let me compare the two. When I talked about Klobuchar and I said, do not just go out and rest on the moderate side of the party. You have to kind of be in the middle. Kamala Harris's policies are, boom, right in the middle of the party. And she is, and there are things that the progressives like that are appealing directly to the progressives, to the moderates, to the centrists in the Democratic Party. And there's a lot that she puts forward that is going to appeal, but she's not trying to pander to the moderate Republicans. No, she's, I'm a little surprised that people are like, well, who is this candidate? No, Kamala Harris. She's a very solid candidate. And I think that even early on when she announced that she was going to run, I said, she's going to be there for a while. But last night showed exactly why many people thought that she definitely was – she's not to be taken lightly in this presidential race, that's for sure. Chris is in Chanhassen. Welcome on in, Chris.
Hey, how's it going?
All right, sir.
Yeah, you probably don't remember. I met you at the Blue State Ball.
Oh, hi.
Yeah, we talked comic books.
That's right. There we go. Yes, yeah. I was just revisiting the origins of Hydro Man. Okay, this is truly geeky stuff here. But Chris, I was just because of the Spider-Man Far From Home and Hydro Man shows up in that one. I was revisiting that when I went back and looked at some of the old classic comics featuring the Hydro Man character. So how what have you been up to?
not a lot. Just working. I wanted to make a point is that I didn't vote for Hillary, but I didn't vote for Trump either. I wrote in none of the above. But had Hillary picked Bernie as her vice president, I would have voted for Hillary in a heartbeat. And I think anybody who could beat Trump, I think if Biden and Bernie got together for president and vice president, I would vote for them in a heartbeat. And them two could definitely beat Trump.
It'd be interesting. Can you imagine the Pence-Sanders debate? Holy God, that would be interesting. Chris, thank you very much, and good to talk to you, my friend. And by the way, keep checking up with me. I'll keep up on the comic books, my friend. I also just finished Heavy Metal from the DC Universe. That was quite good. I don't even think Biden and Sanders would want to run on the same ticket. I don't think either one of them has any intent on being a vice president.
That's just not good optics to have two guys in their old late 70s.
Well, I mean, it's their ideas. There's a lot of ideas that Biden has that I like. There's a lot of things that Sanders has that I do like. They've got ideas, but I just at the end of the day, neither one of them is going to want to be the vice presidential candidate. Neither one of them is going to want to be the vice presidential candidate.
Can
no.
Biden even constitutionally do it again? That's a good question.
That's actually a really good question.
We know the presidential. I don't know the VP.
I bet you the VP could because it's the holding of the presidential office, which has got the time limit on the 10-year time limit on it. So you could, you can basically pull a Roosevelt there. McKinley gets shot. Roosevelt becomes the president and you could stay and you could run for your first term and then you could run for a second term because then you'd have the 10 years. But you cannot oh, boy, that's a great question. We'll have to check that out. I don't know if there is a term limit on vice presidents.
I mean, there's less than a 0.0001 chance that would happen.
Yeah, Biden would never take the vice president's position. I think, there's a lot of people up there that, this was the first debate where I came away from it saying, there's a lot of guys up there that are jockeying for position of Secretary of the Interior. You know what I mean? There's a lot of guys there that you want to be the Postmaster General, don't you? Every answer you had to do with mail. Okay,
what's Marianne Williamson going to go for in the cabinet?
Oh, do we need Mystic?
Mystic Czar.
The Mystic Czar. We do have that Trump orb that he got from the Saudi Arabians, right? We just give her the orb, and she can put it in a room, and she can have, she can be like, who is the fortune teller in Harry Potter? I can't remember the name of the teacher there. Yeah, she can put her there. She can just talk about looking into the moonscape. Oh, really? Okay. I would love to have her as part of that. I would love to have her as part of the White House. That would be fun. 952-946-6205. We'll get into some other things when we do return. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Being a dog is awesome, except when you really gotta go, but you're stuck inside. That's why I had my human call the Urban Dog. Daily walks, field trips, play groups, one-on-one time, safe off-leash play, and pet sitting. I love being an Urban Dog.
The Urban Dog works with your schedule and can create a plan that fits your needs. The Urban Dog. Exercise, explore, socialize. Let the journey begin. Call 651-231-6333. That's 651-231-6333.
Chances are, after spring cleaning, you missed a spot. A couple really big spots, like your roof and siding. Run your fingers across your siding. You'll likely get a gross residue. And your roof probably has some black streaks, too. Your roof and siding aren't always easy to clean, but they're definitely the most visible parts of your home that give it its curb appeal. So let Blue Sky Services clean your roof and siding. Blue Sky's safe soft wash method won't cause any damages and will make your home look like new. Right now, Blue Sky Services is running their summer special where you can get your whole house, roof, and siding cleaned starting at only $447. That's the most viewed parts of your home cleaned for only $447. Then mention AM950 when you call Blue Sky Services to get an additional $50 off. So get the curb appeal back on your home and call Blue Sky Services at 952-467-2447. That's 952-467-2447.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
All right, it's late in the game at this point. 2-1 U.S. over France in the Women's World Cup. France is throwing everything in the world they have at them right now, so we'll have to see how that goes. But we're late. We're in extra time, so it should be over here by the time we get to the end of the show. I did want to say Keith called in. Kamala Harris for president, Warren for VP, Sanders for education secretary. Highly disagree with that one. I put him in health and human services. I think because he was the first guy that was talking about, you know, really on a national platform level, healthcare for all, Medicare for all. And I mean, and if you're going to do that, and it sounds like most Democrats are on board with doing that, well, then let's get the guy that started it in that position. That would be my thought. If he doesn't win the Democratic nomination, decides he doesn't want to be a vice presidential candidate, and is willing to serve on a cabinet. Because I think that he could actually do a tremendous amount of good as Health and Human Services Secretary. That's just if I was to, you know, pick one, not Education Secretary. I don't, you know, there's quite a few people that I could think of off the top of my head for Education Secretary. Someone messed with Lizzo. What? Everyone here knows I'm Matt McNeil. I have a special place in my heart for one-time Minneapolis-based singer Lizzo, who is fantastic. New man on the Minnesota Vikings, indeed. Singer-songwriter and rapper Lizzo says a security guard tackled two members of her staff to the ground, used hurtful language just moments after her performance at Milwaukee's Summerfest. Lizzo late Thursday tweeted the guard slapped and mishandled her hairstylist and stylist that she was out for blood after he dragged them off the grounds. She called him a racist bigot and said he needs to be in handcuffs. She says they'll file a complaint. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reports Summerfield issued a statement early Friday promising a thorough investigation. Summerfest says it expects any security challenges to be handled professionally and respectfully, and they'll take appropriate action if those actions were not met. Lizzo's having a breakthrough year, including the including a BET award nomination for Best Female Hip Hop Artist. All right. In case you missed it, on this last weekend was a Pride Parade and a lot of Pride weekend going on here in Minneapolis-St. Paul. Not everybody was out there attending that. As a matter of fact, there is one specific senator, Dan Hall, Republican from Burnsville, who decided to go to the Freedom March. Which, okay, people say it was a well-attended Freedom March, but they don't have one picture of the crowd. My first clue that your event might not be well attended is if you're too terrified to turn the camera around to the crowd to show the crowd. It's probably not a big attendance there. The Freedom March, self-described group of Christians who have been delivered from LGBTQ lifestyles, set up shop under some white tents and ready to testify its leadership as indicated on its website. It's composed of former homosexuals and former transgenders who have since left those identities behind through the power of the blood of Jesus. Freedom not is about, it's not about suppression, it's about freedom. I think you messed up with what was going on in Minneapolis, but okay. Minnesota State Senator Dan Hall, photos from the event on the live stream appear to show him hanging out, chatting folks up, and at one point wearing a Freedom March t-shirt. He also hyped the event on Facebook. Hall has never been shy with his opinions about the gay and trans community. Back in 2012, he got into a little hot water for seeming to insinuate that if you weren't for an amendment banning gay marriage, you weren't for America. Why is it you never see an American flag where you see a vote no for the Minnesota marriage amendment sign, he asked. He later said he hadn't technically called anyone unpatriotic, but not before others had some choice words among them. Yeah, well, I can't repeat those. This is the City Pages story. But I will say this. Hey, Dan Hall, jackass, I had an American flag and a vote no flag, banner in my yard. So, and as a veteran, shut up, you jerk. Anyway, in 2013, he quoted Mel Gibson's very homophobic father to make a case against getting people, gay people getting married. Tolerance is the last virtue of a depraved society, he tweeted, when an immoral society has blatantly and proudly violated all the commandments. I actually think it's when you're jailing children and not giving them soap. How about that? Where does that fall on your biblical violation scale? Because it's pretty high up on mine. Two people loving each other consently? I could care less. But, you know, ripping children away from their parents and making them sleep on the ground and in a cage, that's kind of a jerky thing to do. Concentration camps, they're bad. I don't know if you're aware of this. Bad, B-A-D, bad. Hall did not respond to interview requests, so it's hard to know for sure, but his Facebook presence hasn't evolved much since 2012. On June 10th, he posted an article from a study claiming there is no evidence people are born gay or transgender, and quoted a section that implies queerness may just be a result of being messed up by childhood sexual trauma. 2 days later, earlier, he gave a shout-out to the Minnesota Family Council, which once had to apologize for equating same-sex marriage campaign efforts with propaganda in Nazi Germany. It was a wonderful thing, he wrote, to have friends like the council who encourage and support your positions and legislation at our capital. Wow. And this is, once again, this is not some guy way out in some very rural district. This is Dan Hall from Burnsville. Burnsville, this clown's from. God, what a jerk. Back in April, he posted an article about liberal Washington State and its radical LGBT sex ed bill after massive parental outrage. This is where things are going if you don't voice your opinion, he wrote. Your children and grandchildren will be taught the proper way to having homosexual sex. The Minnesota House Democrats have a bill that would stop any kind of youth counseling against homosexuality. Well, no, it's counseling is a good thing when any kid wants to talk about whatever. But it's trying to brainwash a person into believing they're not who they really are. That's the real jerkish thing, dude. Wow. I'll post the whole story up later on. Have a great weekend. Did USA win?
2-1, yes.
2-1 is the final. There you go. We're back on a Monday. Have a good one. Until then, see ya.